one day.
Man, this year has been rough. Family issues, school stress, and my parents always on my case.
I get you. I've had my share of problems too. But Nazmin, you've kind of changed my perspective last year. It's not just about fun. It really helped me to grow my relationship with God.
I noticed you've been different, always at youth group. But to go a whole week without my phone?
Listen, it worth it. It's a sleeping camp at the Eastern Caribbean Bible Camp Center in Jezreel, St. Philip, from August 25th to the 31st for ages 12 to 18. You don't need a phone when there's interactive Bible study, craft projects, a sports day, and even a movie.
Sounds interesting, but I'm still not sure.
Just come and see. The theme is Exodus, the return to God. With everything happening nowadays, now is the time to return to God.
Alright, how much?
It's $225 for the week. Contact your local Nazarene church or email district.nya.sec@gmail.com to sign up. But do it quickly before registration closes.
Thanks, man. See you at camp.
Good day, listeners. Welcome to another episode of the Because He Lives program, hosted by the members of the Church of the Nazarene, Barbados District, and brought to you with the kind compliments of our sponsor, Federal Motor Spears. My name is Joshua, and I'll be your presenter today. Today, we'll be exploring a profound journey of faith, redemption, and divine leadership as we delve into the book of Exodus, and under the theme for this year's Nazarene Youth Camp, The Return to God, focusing on Moses becoming the leader of the Israelite people and their journey to the Promised Land. This story is not just an ancient narrative. It's a powerful reminder of God's unwavering faithfulness and the transformative power of returning to Him. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You with hearts full of gratitude and reverence. We thank You for the opportunity to gather and reflect on Your Word, and for the timeless lessons You have given us through the story of Moses and the Israelites. As we embark on this journey through the book of Exodus, we ask for Your presence to be with us, just as You were with Your people in the wilderness. Lord, open our hearts and minds to receive the truths You wish to impart. May Your Holy Spirit guide our thoughts and inspire our understanding. We pray for each listener that they may be touched by Your word and encouraged in this journey of faith. Strengthen us, Lord, and lead us closer to You. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Our story begins with Moses, a man with a complex identity, an Israelite raised in the Egyptian palace. After fleeing Egypt, Moses encounters God in a burning bush on Mount Horeb. Exodus 3:1-12 NIV says, "Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, 'I will go over and see this strange sight. Why the bush does not burn up?' When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, 'Moses, Moses.' And Moses said, 'Here I am.' 'Do not come any closer,' God said. 'Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground.' Then he said, 'I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob.' At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, 'I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Here, God calls Moses to lead the Israelites out of slavery. This encounter is a divine appointment where God reveals his name, I am who I am, signifying his eternal and unchanging nature. This moment marks the beginning of Moses' transformation from a fugitive to a leader chosen by God. Initially, Moses is hesitant. He questions his own abilities and fears rejection. But God reassures him, promising his presence and empowering him with signs and wonders. This teaches us that God equips those he calls, turning our weaknesses into strengths. Moses' journey from reluctance to leadership is a powerful testament to God's ability to use us despite our doubts and limitations. As Moses returns to Egypt, he confronts Pharaoh, demanding the release of the Israelites. Pharaoh's hardened heart leads to a series of plagues that demonstrate God's supremacy over the Egyptian gods. Each plague is a direct challenge to the false gods of Egypt, revealing God's power and authority. Through these plagues, God systematically dismantles the Egyptians' belief in their deities and asserts his dominance. Exodus 12, verses 1 to 13 says, The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor. Having taken into account the number of people there are, you are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animal you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of their door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night, they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or boiled in water, but roast it over a fire, with the head, legs, and internal organs. Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On the same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. The final plague, the death of the firstborn, brings the institution of the Passover. The Israelites are instructed to mark their doorposts with the blood of a lamb, and the angel of death passes over their homes. This act of faith and obedience prefigures Christ, our Passover lamb, whose blood saves us from eternal death. The Passover becomes a lasting ordinance and reminder of God's deliverance and protection. With Pharaoh's reluctant permission, the Israelites embark on their journey to the Promised Land. This exodus from Egypt is a monumental event filled with both miracles and challenges. Exodus 14 verses 5 to 22 reads, When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, What have we done? We have let the Israelites go and have lost their services. So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots along with all the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Pi Hahiroth, opposite Baal Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than die in the desert." Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water, so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots and his horsemen." Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side. So neither went near the other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all the night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. Faced with the Red Sea ahead and Pharaoh's army behind, the Israelites are trapped. Yet Moses, following God's command, stretches out his hand and the sea parts, allowing them to cross on dry ground. This miraculous deliverance is a powerful testament to God's ability to make a way where there seems to be no way. The journey through the wilderness is marked by both physical and spiritual trials. The Israelites experience hunger, thirst, and the temptation to return to Egypt. Yet God provides manna, quail, and water from the rock, teaching them to depend on Him daily. This period is a test of faith, reminding us that our spiritual journey requires trust in God's provision and timing. Exodus 19 verses 1 to 6 says, "On the first day of the third month after the Israelites left Egypt, on that very day they came to the desert of Sinai. After they set out from Rephidim, they entered the desert of Sinai, and Israel camped there in the desert in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain and said, 'This is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob, and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation.' These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites." At Mount Sinai, God establishes a covenant with the Israelites, giving them the Ten Commandments and other laws. These commandments are not just rules, but a reflection of God's holy character and His desire for His people to live in righteousness. They serve as a guide for ethical and moral living, shaping the Israelites into a community that mirrors God's holiness. God also instructs Moses to build the tabernacle, a portable sanctuary where his presence will dwell among his people. This symbolizes God's desire to be intimately involved in the lives of his people, providing a tangible representation of his presence. Exodus 32 verses 1 to 14 says, "When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, 'Come make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses, who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him.' Aaron answered them, 'Take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing, and bring them to me.' So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, 'These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt.' When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, 'Tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord.' So the next day, the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. Afterward, they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Go down, because your people, whom you brought up out of Egypt, have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, "These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." I have seen these people," the Lord said to Moses, "and they are a stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation." But Moses sought the favor of the Lord his God. "Lord," he said, "why should your anger burn against your people, whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'It was with evil intent that he brought them out, to kill them in the mountains and to wipe them off the face of the earth'? Turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember your servants Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, 'I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give your descendants all this land I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever.' Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened."
Despite witnessing God's miracles, the Israelites fall into idolatry, worshipping a golden calf while Moses is on Mount Sinai. This grievous sin leads to severe consequences, but it also provides a powerful lesson in repentance and restoration. Moses intercedes for the people, pleading with God to forgive their sin and continue his presence with them. This act of intercession reflects Christ's role as our mediator, continually advocating on our behalf. God, in his mercy, renews the covenant with the Israelites, reaffirming his promises and restoring the broken relationship. This underscores God's grace and his willingness to forgive and restore those who return to him.
Numbers 14 verses 1 to 9 says, "That night all the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron, and the whole assembly said to them, 'If only we had died in Egypt or in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us to this land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?' And they said to each other, 'We should choose a leader and go back to Egypt.' Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly gathered there. Joshua son of Nun and Caleb son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, 'The land was passed through and explored is exceedingly good.
Joshua son of Nun and Caleb son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will lead us into the land, a land flowing with milk and honey. I will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them." The journey to the promised land is long and arduous for the Israelites, filled with moments of doubt and rebellion. Yet it is also a journey of growth and transformation. When the spies return from scouting the promised land, 10 of them report fear and discouragement, while only Joshua and Caleb stand in faith. This incident highlights the importance of trusting God's promises despite difficult circumstances. Throughout the journey, Moses demonstrates unwavering faith and perseverance. He leads the people with humility and steadfastness, continually pointing them back to God. His leadership is a model for us, showing that true leaders are those who rely on God's guidance and strength. As we reflect on the story of Moses and the Israelites, we see a powerful narrative of God's faithfulness, mercy, and transformative power. The return to God is not just a theme for the Israelites. It is a call for each of us today. No matter where we are on our spiritual journey, God is always calling us to return to Him, to trust in His promises, and to walk in obedience. Let us be encouraged by Moses' example of faith and leadership. Let us remember that God equips those He calls and that His presence is always with us, guiding us on our journey. And let us hold fast to the promise that just as He led the Israelites to the promised land, He will lead us to the fulfillment of His promises in our lives. Thank you for joining us today, and may God bless you as you continue to seek Him and return to Him with all your heart. Because he-